1 Corinthians chapter 7, I'll begin reading at verse 17. Hear the word of the Lord. Only let each person lead the life that the Lord has assigned to him and to which God has called him. This is my rule in all the churches. Was anyone at the time of his call already circumcised? Let him not seek to remove the marks of circumcision. Was anyone at the time of his call uncircumcised? Let him not seek circumcision. For neither circumcision counts for anything nor uncircumcision, but keeping the commandments of God. Each one should remain in the condition in which he was called. Were you a bondservant when called? Do not be concerned about it. But if you can gain your freedom, avail yourself of the opportunity. For he who was called in the Lord as a bondservant is a freedman of the Lord. Likewise, he who was free when called is a bondservant of Christ. You were bought with a price. Do not become bondservants of men. So, brothers, in whatever condition each was called, there let him remain with God. Lord, we ask that you would open our hearts and our minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and your word is proclaimed, we may hear with joy and obedience what you have to say to us today. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Do you ever wonder what you might do differently if you had your life to live over again? If you had a second shot, if you could go back and revisit decisions that were made in the past, you ever think about that you maybe go to a different school or maybe marry someone different or maybe not marry at all? Have children, not have children, choose a different career path. You know, for some, that's a fun little diversion to think about. It's innocent. You play it for a few moments, think about it, then come back to the reality as it is, relatively content. But for some people, that's not a diversion at all. Sadly, some folks cannot quit playing the what-if game. What if I had done this or that differently? What if I hadn't been the victim of some turn of events that was beyond my control? What if I had gone to that school instead of this school? What if I had married this person instead of that person? What if I had chosen this career instead of that career? What if I had made different decisions? The list is endless. Some at the church in Corinth were caught in that same trap. They wanted to serve the Lord, but they were deceived into this thinking that their life circumstances would not allow them to serve the Lord. Something had to change. And so we saw last week that some were buying into this view that the single life is required to be spiritual. And so they start playing this game. What if then I hadn't married her? What if then I should now divorce? And we come to our passage this morning and we see others dealing with the pains of regret and the what ifs. We have Jewish believers who were regretting their circumcision. Their former religion, Judaism, required them to be circumcised. They did so obediently. Now they've become Christians. What if I hadn't done that? What if I had it reversed? Ironically, you have at the exact same time when some are regretting their circumcision, others are regretting not being circumcised. They knew in the Old Testament it was required. It was a sign of God's love, his covenant faithfulness, a seal of that. What if they're missing some special blessing? What if I don't get circumcised? What if I do this now? Bondservants, he mentions here. Another group wrestling with if-only regrets. How can we serve the Lord? I hardly have any control over my life, any control over my finances. Wouldn't this require freedom? Lots of regrets, lots of what-ifs. But I think Paul's response here to this regret and to the what-ifs and to discontentment is really boiled down to one principle. And he repeats it three times in the passage. And in a nutshell, it's be content. Be content. Look at verse 17. Only let each person lead the life that the Lord has assigned to him and to which God has called him. This is my rule in all the churches. Be content. Verse 20. Each one should remain in the condition in which he was called. Be content. Verse 24. So, brothers, in whatever condition each was called, there let him remain with God. Be content. Now, of course, Paul knew that it's not just as simple as that. A simple be content does not truly address the deep pains of regret that so many people find themselves wrestling with. It's easier said than done. But he does give us some truths here that help undergird that command to be content. Some truths to help pursue and maybe even begin to achieve that elusive goal of contentment. What are some theological principles here behind this? Well, let me give you a first one. He urges those who are wrestling with what ifs, he urges those who are wrestling with discontentment to keep in mind the truth of God's sovereignty. Whatever it is from God. Look back at verse 17. Whatever it is from God. He says, only let each person lead the life that the Lord has assigned to him. And to which the Lord has called him. We talk a lot about luck. We talk a lot about accidents. We talk a lot about chance. But if you're a Presbyterian especially, you know that the Scriptures don't really have a category for that. That the Scriptures are consistently clear that God is in control of all things, that nothing happens apart from his sovereign decree, that nothing happens apart from him permitting it, that nothing happens apart from him assigning it, that nothing happens apart from him foreordaining it. I love this term. Those are all biblical terms that you find throughout the Scriptures. I love this term here in verse 17. He has assigned it. Whatever it is, he has assigned this to you. And he says, synonymously, he's called you to this. This set of circumstances. You might not like it. You might be full of regret over it, but it is from God's will. So to bring it close to home for the Corinthians, he's saying it didn't just happen by chance that Jews are Jews. It didn't just happen by chance that Gentiles are Gentiles. It didn't just happen by chance that bondservants are bondservants. It's not as if God looked down on Corinth one day and in a sense of panic, said, oh my, we have too many Gentiles. We got to peel this back now. I'm surprised at the number of bondservants. I didn't know about this. That's not at all the sense. He's saying every one of you are called to this. Every one of you were assigned to this. Every one of you were preordained to this. This is under the sovereign control of God. He knows the circumstances to which he has called us. Does it make it any easier? In fact, I think our temptation often is to look at our circumstances and say, well, I don't like the assignment. This assignment's not fair. As if there's some guarantee in the universe that life will always be fair. As if there's some guarantee in the universe that every individual is going to have the exact same amount of joy and sorrow. As if there's some guarantee in the universe that every human being who has ever lived will share the exact number of joys and the exact number of tears. There's no guarantee like that. You know that. It's not how life operates. In fact, I think the assumption behind that it's not fair is an idea that this life is all there is. And if accounts are not settled in this life, if justice is not served in this life, then justice will never be served. But that's not what the Scriptures teach, right? I think the Scriptures are very clear that God is preparing all of eternity for the scales of justice to be balanced. He's preparing all of eternity for the tears to be wiped away. What he's more concerned about in this life is making sure we get prepared for eternity. That's much more important than whether or not every individual gets the same fair share of everything. This life isn't always about fairness. But the sovereignty of God, as mysterious as it is, and it is mysterious, we're not able to explain how it works. Just because we can't understand it completely doesn't mean it's not true, but it is a mystery. But rather than trying to explain it, we're called to rest in it. I find this an incredible source of comfort. You know, the Christian faith, I think, has a lot of very compelling components to it. But one of the most compelling, I think, is the sovereignty of God. The idea that in some mysterious way, even the most difficult situations of life, even the most unpleasant situations in life, are transformed by this truth that God in His sovereign wisdom has placed us there. And it doesn't take Him by surprise. And it's not a plan B or something out of His control. In fact, think about it this way. If you struggle with accepting the sovereignty of God, I'm not talking about struggling with understanding it. Okay, granted. We will struggle with understanding it, but if you struggle with accepting it, you might want to ask yourself this question. If God isn't in control of every single detail in life, why should I trust Him? That's a legitimate question. If God isn't in control of every single detail in life, why should I pray to Him? It doesn't make much sense to me. But Paul is saying, be content where you are. And he grounds it, number one, in the idea that wherever it is, it's from God. It is from God. Let me give you a second point that Paul grounds this calling to contentment in your vocation, contentment in your calling, contentment in your assignment. He urges us to look at our priorities. Look at verse 19. For neither circumcision counts for anything, nor uncircumcision, but keeping the commandments of God. That is a call to obedience. And he says you're called to obey God whether you're circumcised or whether you're uncircumcised, whether you're a bondservant or a freeman, whether you're a Jew or a Gentile. Take the slavery issue. Miserable. A miserable condition in which to find oneself. But as miserable as it was, there was nothing about slavery that prevented them from obeying the commands of God. Nothing. He says, if a slave, if a bondservant received the opportunity to be free, of course, seize it. Seize it. That's a key passage. And how Christianity eventually became the movement to abolish slavery in the United States and in the world. Almost. Seize it. But if the opportunity doesn't come, don't sit around and pine about what ifs and regrets. Obey the Lord. Serve God. Now, of course, there's some things that are so inconsistent with God's will, you would have to make a complete break. Let's say if you're running an organized crime operation, you can't serve God there. But the fact is, most callings in life, most assignments, nothing makes obedience to God impossible. In fact, he even argues that the nature of the Christian faith means there's no difference between slave and free. That's a beautiful verse, verse 22. Don't miss the irony there. He says, for he who was called in the Lord as a bondservant is a freedman of the Lord. You get that? Even if you are a bondservant to men, you're free in the Lord if you're called in Christ. Likewise, he who was free when called, earthly speaking, is a bondservant of Christ. As far as Christianity is concerned, all Christians, free or slave, are in the exact same position. Bondservant's been freed from the very same thing a freeman's been freed from: sin, death, devil. And the free Christian has become a slave of Jesus Christ. So the one true reality for free or slave, the one true reality for Jew or Gentile, the one true reality for Greek or Jew, the one true reality for black or white, the one true reality for male or female, the one true reality for married or single, the one true reality for young or old, the one true reality for rich or poor is the Lord Jesus Christ. binds us all together, gives us a common identity. We have one master, one teacher, one savior, one Lord, one baptism, one confession of faith. And that's because we have been bought with a price. Verse 23, you were bought with a price. Do not become bondservants of men. Whatever your circumstances, not only is it from God, but he's saying, whatever your circumstances, it's for God. However difficult, however many regrets, you're there from God and you're there for God. Focus on serving him. Focus on obedience to him. For neither circumcision counts for anything nor uncircumcision, but keeping the commandments of God. Don't spend your time pining away over your situation, but use your condition as an opportunity to serve God for his glory. Verse 21. Were you a bondservant when called? Do not be concerned about it. Don't let that identify you. But serve God. You know, ironically, we often use our circumstances as an excuse to not obey God, right? But what Paul was saying here is, in life, God brings you circumstances so that you can obey God. They're from him and they're for him so that you can obey him. So be content where you are. It's from God. Number two, it's for God. Let me give you a third point that Paul brings up here in encouraging us to be content. Look at verse 24. So brothers, in whatever condition each was called, whatever your assignment, there let him remain with God. Don't miss those two precious words at the very end of that verse. There let him remain with God. Whatever you're going through, whatever circumstances, whatever calling, whatever assignment, it's from God, it's for God, and it's with God. With God. You have a new partner now. The cure to perpetual restlessness, the cure to perpetually playing the what-if game, the cure to the pains of deep regret in life, he says it's from God, it's for God, and it is with God. The same God who sovereignly assigned you to this position, the same God who sovereignly called you to this difficult calling is there in the midst to help you bear it out. It's not the image of some callous, uncaring tyrant who is always dumping difficulty on you and just walking away. He says, whatever difficulty God dumps on you, quote, quote, whatever calling, whatever assignment, when he gives you the burden that our loving Father steps in and he helps us to shoulder it. That makes the burden lighter. Doesn't take the pain away. But boy, that is comforting to know that in the midst of purposes that we may not understand, we confess they're from God, we may not understand them, but the fact that he's with us in the midst of that difficulty, the fact that he is with us walking through that burden, that assignment, that calling, reminds us that his purposes are right and his purposes are good. He doesn't make mistakes. He does not make mistakes. So you have two specific examples here. I know these are a little removed from us, circumcision and slavery. But don't miss the radical Christian response Paul is calling for in how we approach life. He takes the two most divisive phenomena in the New Testament world, circumcision, that's the greatest religious barrier between Jews, Gentiles, and Christians, the greatest religious barrier. He takes bond service, which is the biggest social barrier, the biggest religious barrier, the biggest social barrier, and in each case, he says the salvation of Jesus Christ renders them null and void. Anyone in Christ has been so remade that earthly status or lack of earthly status is absolutely irrelevant. The idea is don't put all of your eggs in the basket of earthly relevance, earthly status, earthly calling. Don't put earthly callings before your highest calling. You don't have to live a life full of regret. You don't have to live a life playing the what-if game. You don't have to live a life pained over things you wish you could change, because the Christian life allows us to serve Him wherever we've been placed. That's our highest calling. That's our highest vocation. And confidently, we can say in every circumstance, it's from God, it's for God, and it's with God. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the precious promises of Your word. Lord, we ask that You would forgive us when we get so bogged down in the what-ifs and the regrets and the temptation to believe that things just simply aren't fair. Lord, give us a long, eternal view of Your sovereign work. Encourage us to contentment. Encourage us in this precious truth that wherever we find ourselves, it's from You, it's for You, and it's with You. Lord, go with us this day, go with us this week. Use us in the building of Your kingdom, we pray. Amen.